The Takeaway is supported by the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org. You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
To some extent, graffiti is the art world's bastard child. Art critics can't seem to agree. Are graffiti artists creating true art with a capital A? Or are they just defacing public property?
Well, aren't the graffiti artists the sort of Italian fresco painters of our era?
Well, you could kind of say going back to the cave paintings, you know, centuries ago that we've had graffiti for a long time. But remember that cities across the U.S. spend millions of dollars every year to remove graffiti from schools, buses, bridges. It's not always clean, one might say. But let's imagine for a moment that Vincent Van Gogh went around tagging buildings.
Van Gogh.
And Edgar Degas was plastering his art all over City Hall. It's a kind of a counterintuitive marketing campaign to a certain extent. The Detroit Institute of Arts is trying to bring more people into the museum by displaying some of its most beautiful pieces outside, or reproductions of them anyway. The DIA for the second year has created a special outdoor exhibition. It's called Inside Out. And it features life-size reproductions of some very famous masterpieces on the streets, parks, buildings, sidewalks, all around, not just the city of Detroit, but Metro Detroit, many cities. And joining us now, Graham Beal, who's director and president of the Detroit Institute of Arts. Good morning.
Hi.
It's a full set of spray cans you got there, bud.
Well, first of all, these are reproductions. How do you make them waterproof?
It's the material they're printed on. It's a kind of vinyl, and it's just, weatherproof in.
How high is the quality? I mean, is it,
It's a very, very high quality. That's one of the reasons that we feel comfortable in doing it. I mean, when you see a work of art, you see the texture of the canvas, even if it's there in the painting, you can see it, which oddly enough makes you realize that it's actually not the real thing because it has no dimension. But they're very, very high quality reproductions, something we couldn't have done 4 or 5 years ago when I first saw this done, a version in London, the National Gallery. Had done it there. When I came back and I and a colleague of mine, Anne-Marie Erickson, looked into it, it was just too expensive.
To reproduce them?
Yep.
Well, we actually have a comment here. This is Darson Carr, who's curator for the National Gallery in London. This Inside Out exhibition, the DIA has done it for the first time in the U.S., as far as we know. But
yes.
it was done at the National Gallery. And here's what Darson Carr had to say.
With most of these paintings, we've removed them from their original context anyway by putting them on the walls of the National Gallery. And this is yet a step further removed from what the artist intended. We're hopeful that it will grab people's attention and bring them to see the real thing.
So two things there. First is, how far removed is this from the original intention? I mean, exhibits generally, it costs a great deal of money and attention and effort to curate them, to make sure that they're placed in a context where people can truly enjoy it. Does this remove all that careful planning?
A lot of painters just painted for like mantelpieces in rich people's homes, so it's not all museums. That's the context, right?
Well, it's basically taking it out of the I mean, for the last 100 years, we've created a very, very special, rarefied context where we look at art, where we make it available for the people. And it's precious. We have these works of art. They're trophies on the wall. They're identified as who gave them and what they are and who painted them, who made them. And so this is just taking it out of context and getting people to look again. And to me, that's what art is. Real art makes you look at the world in a different way, and this is kind of a tiny version of that, having people walking through the park or going down the street, and suddenly they see something that would normally not be there and makes them look again and we hope makes them want to come down to see the original painting.
And that's the second question. We're speaking with Graham Beal, who's director and president of the Detroit Institute of Arts. And that's my second question is, does it bring people in to the museum?
Well, we don't. It's hard to track that. We do the Inside Out. The other part of the program is that each community that we've worked with that has these works, these small exhibitions in them, 20 communities, they have a day that they can come down to the DIA and show their identity address, and they get in free to the DI
they
to
show
see
you a utility bill or something.
Or something like that. to see, quote unquote, their paintings. And we have had, we have heard people say anecdotally, oh, I must go down and see the the real thing. So, but it's just a way of attracting people's attention and giving them a pleasant surprise.
Although contextually, there would be a pretty vivid clash between a Monet on the side of a building and some of the sort of urban troubles that you see in the composition of images in Detroit these days. Do they go together?
We have in some cases in the first iteration of this last year, we did do sort of what we thought were clever things, and say we put our great Fuseli painting, The Nightmare, we put on the side of a shop that was a goth shop, and we put our great Syria by the Sea painting of ruins by Frederick Church in front of our famous ruin, the Michigan Central Station. But this year we put together small exhibitions that are then put in downtown areas or in parks. So there are 7 or 8 works of art, and some cases you need a bicycle maybe to see them all, or a long walk.
You know, I mean, you've only done this for 2 years, which means that you started doing this in the midst of probably some pretty severe financial troubles. I mean, not just in Detroit, but almost all nonprofits around the country are struggling at this point. This is a tough time to get donations. Probably, I'm assuming, corporate donations from the big three have fallen quite a bit. So to a certain extent, this represents an outreach at a time when it must be very difficult for the Detroit Institute of Arts to reach out.
Well, when we were talking about this idea several years ago, as I said, it was too expensive. But then one of our trustees, Mark Schwartz, knew about this and said that he had available in his business a new technology that made it very, very affordable. And that was last year that enabled us to go forward with it. The response was so powerful that we decided to expand it. And this year we had corporate funding from DTE, and we've just heard that we have a grant from the Knight Foundation to do a similar version of these exhibitions for the next 2 years. So it really has struck a chord.
Have any of the reproductions been defaced?
No. We had one painting last year that was dressed up rather like a Day of the Dead shrine. But apart from that, not a single example of graffiti.
Wow.
Although in a sense, the images of graffiti would add to the context in some ways. If it's not completely, you know, just sort of F you on the painting, right?
I don't know about graffiti. There's a graffiti artist who plagues Detroit as far as the building owners are concerned. And he, maybe it's a she, seems to have left the cultural institutions alone.
People get it. Huh. That's great.
Graham Beal, director, president, and CEO of the Detroit Institute of Arts. The Inside Out exhibition extends into November. Thanks.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.